Brereton serves as the Executive Director of Enactus UK and Ireland, where her mission is to inspire and empower the next generation of leaders to leverage business and innovation in building a better world for us all. I began our conversation with a simple but powerful question. Are you succeeding?
I hope so.
And why are you doing what you're doing?
I think that people need to do some of the things that what we do at Enactus in terms of engaging the next generation, because ultimately they're going to be the people leading the world in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And the more that we can do to engage them, to get them thinking actively and proactively about some of the challenges in the world, but with a business mindset as well, to make sure that they're financially sustainable and thinking of the long-term longevity of what we're trying to create impact on, I think that's only going to be a great thing. The more young people we can engage in community challenges, in some of the issues that we're seeing in the world, some of the wicked problems, and also importantly getting their innovation, their ideation around where they see the world in a different way. And I think the more that we engage with them, the more it will open up the eyes of people who are currently able to make change and inspire them to do things. So some of the big business of the world, but also some of the local community groups that could benefit from having some of that kind of student mindset, but also it's going to help in the future as well for what they're doing.
Can you give examples of successful stories that are currently changing the world after going through Enactus?
Of projects and what they're doing? There are so many. There are honestly so many. And that's not me avoiding the question, because I can definitely give some examples as well. But there are, from even the kind of the most smallest community-based projects, if I'm thinking, not even smallest, but like some of our more community-centered projects, so things like Labrez Hope or Motion, where they're working directly in the communities to make an impact, whether that's with people that are experiencing homelessness with Labrez Hope, where they're empowering them to use soap making as a means to not only build their skills and their confidence and their trust, but importantly gain an income from doing that and being able to sell that soap as well, which is a really important thing. Or Motion, where they're working within care homes to support those that are within care homes to be more active and support with social isolation. Mm-hmm. There's so many different projects, and even on an even bigger scale, projects that are now, you wouldn't even describe as projects, they're fully functioning and business. Things like Think for the Future, which is an excellent project back from Enactus Nottingham 10 years ago, who is now still in Nottingham, still doing amazing stuff, working within schools to provide provisions for young people that may have found it difficult to kind of progress in school. And again, things like that, it's just amazing to see worldwide some of the impact that is still ongoing post Enactus.
Do you think the current projects are going to be successful?
That we have at the moment?
Yeah.
Like, I think we see some really cool projects coming through the ranks at the minute in terms of Enactus. So even things like, if I think about some of our current project portfolio, things like Takataka Zero from Enactus Durham, or if I think of Chance for Change from Enactus Aston, that there are some really cool community engagement pieces that are happening out there. One thing I would say as well, which I hope isn't going against your question here as well, is that for us, absolutely, the impact through is important in terms of the impact that we're supporting young people to have on the SDGs and accelerating community impact and social enterprise. That's important, but it's just as important to us as the impact that it has on the young people as well. So sometimes, and this isn't something I want, obviously, mm-hmm. but sometimes when the projects don't do so well, or when the projects need to pivot, or when they may be not as successful, that's just as much of a great learning experience for our students as if the project was successful, because that's what's going to help build their resilience, their determination, their drive, but also their ability to manage change and manage risk within dynamic environments, which I think is a really big part of A, being in the working world, but also what we teach and hopefully empower young people to do in Enactus as well.
What is Enactus?
A great question. Do you want me to give you the spiel of what Enactus is? Well, I absolutely can.
I want you to explain it. It took me some time to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the kind of thing that you have to see.
To believe.
Not to believe, but to understand.
Yeah.
And to...
understand every aspect of it, because it's complex. It's not a simple initiative. So from your side, what is it?
So Enactus is a global network of organizations that are across over 35 different countries globally. And what we do is we work in collaboration with universities, students, and business leaders to basically drive impact on and around young people, but also through kind of the SDGs and accelerate an impact in local communities across the world. Now, what that actually translates to on a more practical level is we work within universities to almost create societies. It's probably the best, most practical example of how it actually works in practice, and create kind of groups of students on campuses and empower them with tools such as design thinking and theory of change to really think about how they can make an impact in their communities. Now, we do this all, as I said, in collaboration with the universities and business leaders. So then it creates opportunities for young people to gain insights from our mentors and our coaches, also to gain from the amazing kind of experience and research that universities are doing as well. And I think that that almost triad of students, young people, academics and business leaders coming together is a really powerful but a really important force. I think going back to kind of what you said in terms of like what is Enactus and what it is, I think although that is what it is and that's what we do, I think you're absolutely right when you say it's complex, because it is. And for me, Enactus is more of a feeling, because when you're part of Enactus, you feel like you're part of a community that's global, that are all working together to try and do the same thing, which is basically to create a better world for us all where everyone thrives. And I think with that kind of mission in mind, you're naturally going to create that network feeling, that family feeling. And I think wherever you go in the world, if there's an Enactus country and you connect with Enactus there, you can feel that power of the energy of the young people driving change and genuinely wanting to see change as well, which I think's, the next level of Enactus.
You told me that that every country operates in a different way. And what are the differences?
I think it's a really powerful thing in how the Enactus Global Organization was set up to allow us to do so and to operate in different ways. So the best way to describe Enactus globally is that we're a network organization. So I often talk of it, if I'm talking candidly with people, it's like a franchise. So we buy into the franchise, but it's more than that, because it is genuinely a network.
We hold that.
So each country. So each country buys into the affiliation with Enactus Global. So we're still independent organizations legally, financially, in our own right. But we're all connected by this one kind of organization, Enactus Global, which then gives us that opportunity to have best practice sharing, to support one another, and to work together to, again, move our mission forward and accelerate our mission. Now, how that then works again practically is we are able to adapt to our local markets. We're able to make sure that what we have in our local markets, i.e. for us in the UK and Ireland, is appropriate for our students, for our partners, our corporate partners or foundation partners. And it allows us to then have a little bit of flexibility around the core mission, which again makes it easier then to kind of manage locally. I think one of the things that Enactus talks about, and hopefully I do not butcher this, but we are a global organization that's locally informed. And I think that that is really important in how we operate, because I think it's important to be needs led. It's what we encourage our students to be. So we as a market, me as an organization also needs to be the same.
Do you think this is why it survived the issues that he had in 2023?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we are stronger together, but we are strong on our own as well. Like, we're able to again navigate, be flexible, to pivot where we need to. But also, we are the thing that I always think about with Enactus UK and Ireland is we absolutely have the ability to just to manage. But then that's the beauty of being part of this network, is that we are able to kind of connect in and learn from the best practices from other from other Enactus countries, and learn and develop and innovate together, which I think makes us a powerful force when we work together. But yeah, of course, like, I think as an individual countries, and Actors UK and Ireland now, of course, since that move and that change, we were able to kind of weather that storm because we've got such a great, amazing network in the UK and Ireland that we wouldn't be able to do it without.
What happened in that during that storm? Because it says on Wikipedia, we can read this.
You believe Wikipedia?
Well, no, but well, someone wrote it there, right?
Well, anyone can edit it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What does it say? I don't actually
know. It says that on July 13th, 2023,
yeah,
President and CEO of Enactus, Robin Fehrman, announced that Enactus United States and Enactus Global would be shutting down its day-to-day operations by the end of August 23, citing financial changes. And it also stated that Enactus events and chapters may continue to operate independently. I know that a group of leaders, country leaders, came together, rescued it, and then Resolution, let's say, took it over. What happened from your side?
I mean, the same. Like, so we were notified by the Enactus Global team.
You were notified in the morning? Or what was it, an email or someone messaged?
We had an email communication that went out to our network. And then I think there was, I think as a network, we realized that we couldn't let this as a global movement. I think what we were really conscious of is that, as I said, like we have a very, especially in the UK and Ireland, but also in many other countries worldwide as well, it makes such an amazing impact that there was no way that we would ever gonna let that impact our to be honest, our brand and how we operate. So I think as a network, it was one of those opportunities where it, to me, being part of that and really being involved from day dot as soon as the kind of the announcement, bearing in mind we had the World Cup coming up in Utrecht, which wasn't too far from us at the time, physically, location wise, I mean, and also with some of our like great friends and in the network kind of running it. It was a real opportunity for the network to show its strength as us coming together. And there were loads of challenges. And like, I'd be lying if I said that I knew more than that, in the sense that that's exactly what we were told as well, in terms of there were some financial difficulties in terms of some of the partners.
It took you guys some time to kind of broadcast what was going on. Or it wasn't, you did say there was some difficulties, but I remember some sort of concern or I would be reluctant in your place to tell, you know, oh, Enactus is shutting down in the US or something like that, because the partners would be concerned.
Yeah.
Do you think that is fair from your side as well? You had that concern at the time?
I mean, it's always a risk, right? Like, but I think that's a risk that the way that I see myself often, and like our team, so not just me, but our whole team, is we're a small business owner. So as a small business owner, it's a constant risk, always. Like, it's something that if there's anything in our business that keeps me up at night, it is that. Like, it is whether or not we have partners on board, what that's going to look like, purely because it's a cash flow. Like, it's cash flow, it's operations, it's scalability. And I know firsthand the impact of what our program does. Yeah. And I want to make sure that we're growing and that we're making sure we're financially sustainable. So of course it was a risk, like with anything. But I also feel really confident and good, touch wood, that I think our network is strong. And I think, if anything, as I said before, like it highlighted to me the strength of even the individuals in the network and what some of the amazing people and some of the things that happened, even within that short, because I think it was a Thursday, maybe June 13th, if I remember, it was a Thursday that happened. Mm-hmm. By the Friday, we were on calls. I know people that were working endlessly over the weekend, didn't sleep, didn't go to bed, because people are that passionate about what we do. And I think if you've got that level of passion, you're always going to be able to get the buy-in and the motivation. So
talking about passion, I've seen people tattooing the Enactus
logo.
I'm
not there yet, but maybe one day.
It is crazy.
It's a big part of people's lives. Like, I know quite a few people who've got Enactus tattoos, actually, weirdly. But they're also people that I know have won the World Cup. So it's like totally fair. I'm not there yet, but like maybe one day I'd be happy to get an Enactus tattoo. Maybe not yellow. I don't know whether it would go with my skin, but you don't know.
And do you think you'll learned a lot with that journey, with those problems? Did you mature as a CEO, or did you, well, because during struggle times, you develop, right?
Yeah.
You find your real strength. Mm-hmm. What do you think you learned?
I think it's difficult to say in terms of like specifically, because as much as it was a struggle time, and it was, like, there's no doubt about that, it was a challenging time. It wasn't us directly. Mm-hmm. And I knew that us directly, the UK and Ireland, the biggest concern I had at that point, if I'm being completely honest, was about the brand. Like, because that was a thing that was a bit up in the air. Mm-hmm. Of course, it was about the World Cup, but I almost had a weird determination that I knew, I trusted our network that we were going to make it work. And I know that this is where working together would get there. So I think that there's definitely an element of like, we were connected, but we were also quite disconnected from what was actually going on to an extent. Mm-hmm. Saying that, like on a personal level, a lot of our friends, a lot of our colleagues that we'd worked with for a long time, they lost their jobs. And that's incredibly sad. And there was a lot of uncertainty about what was going on. And that was scary. And as someone who has obviously been part of the network for so long, it was scary for me more from a, what's going to happen to an act? What's the future of an actus? Mm. Because we didn't know whether an actus was going to exist, not in the sense of like what we were doing, but the brand, like what was going to happen with our brand and our logo. What was that going to mean? Like, how was that going to be? But I think one of the things that I'm always, like a mentor told me years ago, was like, control what you can control. I couldn't control that. Yeah. I could control what I was doing and what I did in that situation. And certainly not me, but loads of people, again, that was probably the best thing for me, was seeing the network come together. Mm-hmm. Was people stepping up and stepping in and putting themselves forward to be like, right, we're here. What do we need? Like, mm-hmm. what does that look like? And from a practical level for us, that looked like us being like, okay, Ireland, we're here. Like, yeah. we want to support you. We're ready to welcome your students into our program and keep and change it to make it an actual UK and Ireland, or whether it was the World Cup. Like, I think the biggest thing that I learned in those kind of situations is that's where your network is really important, but not just from a practical level, but also from a support. Like, to know that we were in it together, I think is really powerful. But again, it gives you, like, it's nice to say that on this side, right? At, like, on the other, when yeah, we were there the in moment, it, yeah. it was scary. Like, yeah. it was. Like, and I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. But again, I think I have to put it into context. If I think of the USA team and the global team at that time, like, they were the ones going through the ringer. Like, they were the ones who were having an awfully challenging time. And again, friends of ours who we know were going through that, which was, yeah, horrible.
I think when you finished, we did have the World Cup in the end and everything.
In Utrecht,
yeah. In the past. You know, I had big plans, right, to grow and the sponsorship and mm-hmm. do more and show more as well, that we could do more with the network. If anything, I became more certain that it would be a success mm-hmm. because of that, because the struggles have passed in such a good way.
It made us stronger.
It made us, the network mm-hmm. stronger. Yeah.
100%.
For me, it was good, actually, to see the lowest possible event you could have, mm-hmm. which is shutting down, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think it also has allowed us to innovate mm-hmm. and to think about how, and again, I'm talking on behalf of Global here, like, I obviously am part of an actual UK and Ireland, not an actual Global, but I think certainly from my perspective, I can see how they, A, appreciated, but also valued the impact of our network coming together. And I think one of the really cool things that has come out the back of that is there's now more collaboration than ever. Like, countries feel, when you go through something like that together, and if we think about it, 2-3, maybe 4 weeks, maybe a month, a couple of months of like intense, we need to jump on a Zoom call now, we need your help, we need yeah. to do this, we need to do this, someone needs to step into that. When you go through those kind of processes, even if you're not directly involved in it, you feel, you create a bond that you, yeah, it's just allowed for deeper collaboration, which again, I only think is going to benefit, because to me, a lot of the strength in what we do in an actus is in the country network, because they're the ones.
Local, you mean?
Yeah, like, but locally, globally, if that makes sense. So it's the strength of the people who are running the operations, like it's the program teams, the partnership teams in all of the countries, who are closer connected than anyone because they're living it, breathing it all day, every day. And I think, again, Global really, I think, really appreciated and benefited from us coming together better together and being a genuinely being a network, which I think, yeah, I'm really pleased how they've taken that on board. And again, it's been amazing to see Resolution Project come in and, yeah, develop that further.
Resolution, I think, is a good, it was a missing piece.
They're amazing.
Because you go through the whole journey as a student, you go through the whole journey with an actress, and then you graduate, and then you start your, you have a startup, and then you lost all the support from the network, in a way, right? So you kind of left, and that's part of the past. And Resolution comes, from what I can see, exactly at that point. So they provided the support that you would need to develop your business further. They have these investors sessions where the investors are obliged to, they have to commit a certain amount, not to your business, but to a group of businesses that are pitching. George was telling stories. I said to him, this was needed. We are sure now that the businesses are getting extra support after. And it was missing, I think. So it's a good thing that they are around. And why do you think the students join Enactus in the first place? Why? What triggers that? Okay, I'm going to join Enactus. You know, my daughter just went to uni and she's studying business and she said, I don't want to go there. She said, well, I'm going to stay 1 year in England and 2 years abroad, and then I'll come back. You know, it's going to break. And I said, but you should go because you're going to develop business skills. And so why do you think some students join Enactus?
I think there's three reasons. And people join for usually one or more of the three. I think we have a lot of students who join us who are genuinely passionate about social issues. They really want to see a change in the world. They care about sustainability. They care about the environment. They care about the SDGs. They want to make a difference. And they're genuinely motivated by that. Or they've maybe seen something. Maybe they've got lived experience of a challenge or something in their community, and they wanna be empowered to make a difference. So we've got those kind of students. We have the kind of students who recognize that Enactus is a fantastic experiential learning platform, meaning that it's not just what you learn in a lecture theater. It's an opportunity for you to practice some of those skills and for you to practice in a safe environment, building projects, working with people, teamwork, all of those kind of skills that ultimately are going to get you more employable at the end of the day. And again, that's fine. Like, that's not a bad thing. And then I think you've got the kind of third group of people who don't really know what, they just want to do something, but they're not really sure what, and they want to meet new people that are like-minded, and they see themselves maybe being part of this organization, and that's why they join.
And that was you, right?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
How did you join then?
I feel like I've told this story a million times, but I feel like I think it's impactful still in the sense of, I think people would maybe expect in my role that I joined for all of like the best reasons in the world, and that isn't the truth. It's not bad reasons, but it wasn't the truth. So I went to Sheffield University. I'd, bar visiting my auntie every now and again, had never been that far up north really, like to be like on my own. Like, my family are from like West London originally, and then my mum and stepdad moved to Peterborough, so I'd never been that far north. But it was my insurance choice. It wasn't my first choice university. I didn't want to go there. And I made it very clear to like my family and friends before I was going that my results day was the most devastating day of my life, and I hated it, and I was so upset, and I didn't want to go to university.
Right.
It was awful. It was for the worst. And I was an 18-year-old, bear in mind. So I was a bit traumatic.
I don't think anyone really knows what they want to do.
No, but I did. I wanted to go to University of Nottingham, and I wanted to stay, and I wanted to do business management at the University of Nottingham because it wasn't that far from home, and loads of my friends were going, and I wanted to get there, and I didn't. I went to Sheffield. And then I went to Sheffield, and I hadn't organized anything because I wasn't going there. I was planning to get the right results, and I didn't. annoyingly. But I got, just for clarity, I got AAC and I should have got AAB, which is the same. No, ABB, which is the same UCAS points. So anyway, not that I'm bitter 15 years later still.
I like it.
But anyway, I went to Sheffield, hadn't organised any accommodation, so hadn't thought about that, and really just wasn't enjoying it at all. Like, just, I just didn't like it. Like, I think I just had already made my mind up before I'd gone that I wasn't going to like it. So it was nothing that Sheffield had done, because I'd moved into a flat with some lovely people and it was fine. But like, I just decided, no, I don't like this. I don't want to be here anymore. And so like called my mum and said, like, don't want to be here. I'm coming home. And of course she was like, you've worked very hard. You're not coming home.
You got the student loans.
Just go and do it. Yeah, go, sort it out. Figure it out. Like, just crack on. That's very like my mum's attitude is very much like, you just sort it out, like you'll be fine. Yeah. Which is good, because that's like helped me. But then, so went to one of my first freshers lectures as a business management student. I remember sitting in the, so we had our lectures weirdly in a church. In St. George's Church in Sheffield, very cold all throughout the year, because you sit on the pews.
Echoey.
Very echoey. But I can still remember to this day, a guy called Callum Moore come up on the stage, do a presentation, show us a little video that he'd made. And he basically said, do you want to use your degree for good? Do you want to help people? Do you want to make friends? And all throughout school, I'd always volunteered. Like, I'd always done like stuff in the community, and I really enjoyed doing that. Also, I was doing a business degree and I also wanted to make friends. So I was like, fine, I'll go ahead. And I knew one person at University of Sheffield from home who was the year above me. And I was like, can you come with me? Like, can you? I don't want to go on my own.
Right.
I'm very nervous. And I remember there was a huge queue outside and I was like, is this worth it? I don't know. Anyway, went into the Enterprise Zone at the time, which was this building that the team was using, joined a project, and it was a school's project working in Rotherham, and that was it. That's the end. Like, that, here I am. And then in my first year was able to kind of work in projects. I was, I'm going to say, lucky enough, but also obviously I worked hard to do it as well. Like, I was lucky enough to be part of the national presentation team that we did that year. We won nationals that year, which was amazing. Went to the World Cup, and I think that whole experience of going from zero to that in 6 months, 7 months, however long it was, that just kind of almost cemented, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And yet that experience was just
what
amazing.
Was your project about?
So we had a few projects that we presented that year. I think our main project, if I remember, bearing in mind this was 15 years ago, which is a long time, I think our main project was a project called Homemade, which was a homelessness project. So it was working with those in temporary accommodation, so in shelters. It's going to sound odd, but it was to make jam. So, because jam was really easy to make. So jam, anyone can make jam. You just need some sugar and some fruit. Like, anyone can make jam.
I don't know how to make jam.
I'll teach you how to make jam.
Okay.
We basically went to the shelter and we worked with the men that were experiencing homelessness to make jam. Now, it sounds really silly, but the whole purpose was to build trust, build connection, build confidence, give them a skill, give them something to do. We were able to get kind of food, health and safety certificates. We sold the jam, but the men that we were working with came to craft fairs with us as well. And so they were able to sell again, build some of their skill sets. And I think one of the misconceptions around, especially those that are homeless or experiencing homelessness, is that they don't have skills or they don't have the ability to get a job. That's not always true. Like, there's a lot of people that we worked with. There was one guy, I remember he was like a chef in like a previous life. And it's like, it was very eye-opening as a student first year to go and work with these like amazing people. But also to be able to give them something practical to do. And it was just something fun, to be honest, something easy and fun. And yeah, that was our project.
What do you think makes a successful project? What is...
A successful
project? Is there a formula?
I think there is a formula. I think that there is a formula, and I think it's more like...
Hold on, I'm going to write it down.
I think the formula, like, I think, to be fair, like, I think some of the Enactus criterion that we use is the formula. Like, it's a great formula. So we start with being needs-led. I think that is critical, and I think it's one thing that I think young people...
You start with the why.
Yeah, but, like, more than... I think it's more than the why. I think it's, like, the being needs. Really specific. Like, what is the need for this project? Not what is the amazing idea that you've come up with, because if you've come up with an amazing idea, but it doesn't solve a problem or it doesn't solve an issue or it's not needed, to be really clear, what's the point? There's no point. So I think being really needs-led is important. I think when we're thinking about needs, I think if we think of them holistically, almost using, and for some reason everyone knows this, and I don't know where we all got taught this, but like the Maslow's hierarchy. So being holistic in terms of the needs that whoever you is that you're working with is experiencing. Then I think from there, it's about your interventions and the innovation you bring to an event and interventions. And sometimes innovation is not what people presume it is. People presume sometimes that innovation is a new product or a new service or a new technology. And that's cool. But, and there are some amazing, like Earth Suds from Enactus Canada, amazing innovation. They've created these tablets, which mean that we don't need to have plastic for shampoo, conditioner, like washing. It's amazing, like amazing innovation. But sometimes for me, innovation can just be connecting dots that otherwise weren't connected or connecting services that otherwise weren't connected.
You can patent that, you know, when you connect dots.
Yeah.
You can patent that.
And that's innovation.
That's the process.
And that's going to, something different again.
Yeah.
Then you then move into, and I think this is really critical, and I think this is a really cool thing that we focus on in Enactus, is the business model. And it's not that business models are cool. In general, I don't mean it like that. But I think one of the things that I see so often when we're working in communities and with community impact projects or even local charities is, again, as I said right at the beginning, that financial sustainability is what keeps people up at night. So if you can incorporate that into your project, even in a small way, like we're not expecting the next unicorn, but even if it's enough just to keep your costs kind of at bay, to keep you ticking over, that's fine. Like it's just about being aware of that and being able to kind of think about that. And then of course, the most important part of an Enactus project, the sustainable positive impact. So thinking about people, planet, prosperity, like what are you doing in your project to drive those three areas? You do all of that, you'll be fine. Easy peasy.
Okay.
Obviously, as well, just to add, it's collaboration. I think that's super important as well in terms of...
Within the group or external?
So in terms of business leaders, but also local community partners as well. One of the things that I'm always super, super sensitive to and super aware of in terms of the Enactus projects that our teams develop and create is ensuring that if you haven't got lived experience, that you connect with the organizations in your community that have. Because what I would never want Enactus projects to be, I don't know if misappropriation is the right term, but like someone going into a community being like, hey, we've got the solution because we're university students. That is not our approach at all. And I think either having somebody with lived experience in the area that you want to focus on or in working with organizations to understand that is super, super, super important because that's A, how you're going to create better projects and better impact importantly, but it's also how you're going to gain that trust and be able to really understand what the needs are of who you're working with.
What do you think are the biggest problems in sustainability today? Well, it became a buzzword.
Okay.
No?
Possibly.
Do you think it is a buzzword?
It's a good question. What do I think? I think that whether or not people think it's a buzzword or not, the more people that are talking about the importance of sustainability, not just in the environment element, in sustainability in general, and if we look at the SDGs, we can see how broad that is. And even look, I think sometimes we get caught up on the fact that there are 17 SDGs, but there are also so many sub-goals and so many other things underneath them that I don't think many people are always aware of. So I think whether it's a buzzword or whether it's like the word of the moment and the thing of the moment, it almost to me doesn't matter if it means that more people are talking about it, taking notice of it, trying to understand it a little bit more, trying to maybe do more for whatever reason that is. So whether that comes from, because if we think about sustainability where we are now, especially when we're looking at some of the kind of big businesses, it started and probably way before even I can even kind of fathom or think about it. To me, it started as CSR, right? Like that's where it started. And then it's kind of developed over the years to being more than CSR. It's become more embedded within organizations. And certainly like I can see in the partners that we work with, it's really important. and not just in them saying as a buzzword, this is what we're doing, but genuinely caring about it from every level. Like, I've just been with one of our partners now, and he was telling me that it's part of their audit process for all of their buildings and what they're doing. And so whether or not it started as a buzzword however long ago and then it's developed, or whether or not everyone understands how serious it is or how important it is that everybody kind of jumps on board and is trying to drive change, I think getting more awareness, more like more promotion is the wrong word, but kind of more people kind of working in the same direction for whatever starting reason is never going to be a bad thing.
So what happened in Spain last week, right? The flood.
Floods, yeah.
Yeah. You see that the new generation got together, organized themselves online, mm-hmm. and queued to get into town.
Across the bridges, I saw that, yeah.
To clean that. The old folks don't do that, right?
I think that's unfair. Like, yeah. But it's great that we've got passionate young people.
So that's where I think the connection, young, sustainability, you know, aiming for the future is important. We need to close that cycle, really.
And again, maybe that's why some of our businesses, like across the country or like across globally, are starting to turn on to more to it, because maybe they've got young people coming into their business that care about this and really want to kind of drive change at whatever level. Because I think that's something that's really important to me, is that it's not always the big actions are important, but sometimes it's just someone caring about the small actions as well, like the little things that are important. And I think sometimes there's a myth that you have to be this perfect person all the time. You don't. Like, you just be, even just to be a little bit more aware, to be more conscious of things that are going on, to maybe be more conscious of your own actions and how you treat people. Like, sometimes that's okay and that's enough. Like, I think sometimes you sometimes have those people, don't you, that judge, oh, you're not doing all of this amazing. And it's like, people are also human. That doesn't mean that we can't try. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a difference between the two. But I think, again, yeah, it's great to see younger generations passionate. But I also think there's a lot to be said for, there's a lot of organizations out there, but not even organizations, people out there who have been doing this forever. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think of, like, even some of the organizations like NUS, like SOS, like, they're always at the forefront. Like, however meant 50 years ago, 60 years ago, a drive in change. And I think, yeah, there's some amazing people out there who are still doing that at different ages. But yeah, good to see passionate young people.
Most of the country leaders across the globe are female. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I don't know. I think this was something that was mentioned to me the other day, and I genuinely don't. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason like to it. Like, maybe there is. Maybe there's like a psychology to it. But I don't know. It's just amazing that we have. What do you think?
I don't know what I think, if we should have more male leaders, or why in Enactus there are more females. I don't know. You told me that this could be a problem for you.
For me, did I?
Being the CEO of a charity in England.
But being a female?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. Okay. And you were concerned about maternity.
Things like that. Yeah. That's not about me being a female, though, in my role. Maybe it is.
Well, you're going to go...
But I think that's just maybe being a small organization. Like, I don't think that's being a charity necessarily, but maybe that's maybe...
Is it because it's small, you think? Or is it because you are a charity?
Maybe both. Both. Maybe both. Yeah, maybe both.
Are you trying to make plans for that? Or
I think it's important for us to be aware of some of the risks around that, especially in attracting, if I'm just thinking purely selfishly in terms of like our business and our staff and like my team, like if I want to attract females and even males who want to have paternity leave, maternity leave, I think it's important for us to be competitive in how we approach that as not. But I think that would be the same if I was in this position in a corporate organization or another business or whatever it may be, in the sense that I think organizations globally, especially obviously across the UK and Ireland, but definitely globally, need to be conscious of maybe inadvertently putting barriers in the workforce and things like that around maternity, paternity leave, purely from a physically being able to make it work way, not from a whether it would be nice to have or not. Like, it's from a purely physically, does it work or does it not work? And I think, yeah, I think it's our role, I guess, as like leaders to help advocate for that and drive that and, yes, yeah, see what we can do to make sure that we're importantly attracting but also retaining great people.
Do you think we should talk more about it within the board?
Oh, possibly, yeah. Could be a good conversation. I think it's one of those things where it's like, it's, I don't know, like I think one way where it could be a good thing, board discussion, is that we are lucky enough to benefit from so much experience from so many senior leaders across so many different types of organization. And I think it certainly would be a, if I take my, like take the board hat off in the sense of how is it going to benefit Enactus? If I just think of the experience that we have in that room in terms of what works, what doesn't work, what's good, what doesn't, what isn't good, and just kind of people's experience in their own companies, I think that would be a really good opportunity to have kind of best practice learning, like sharing. But that probably be with the same case for lots of things. I think one of the things that we always have to be conscious of is that we aren't a large corporate or a large organization. So we don't always have the benefit of people is a really key thing, and capacity and funding. Like, I think as a charity, well, it's part of the charity commission, we have to be really conscious of where we spend our money, right? Like, and we, and my role certainly is about how do we drive impact in everything we're doing. Now, that's not to say that that isn't a worthy thing, because it absolutely is, but it's, again, there are always decisions and opportunity costs in everything that we do in a small organization. And I think that's always something to bear in mind, I guess.
What do you think is next for Enactus?
Ooh, exciting. Enactus UK and Ireland?
Well, yeah.
Or Enactus generally?
No, let's start with Enactus UK and Ireland.
I don't know. I feel like we're creating some really cool innovations at the minute, really cool different pathways in terms of maybe reimagining the Enactus program in different formats and what that looks like. And I think that that is going to create more opportunities for, if I think of our mission, which is to create impact both on and through young people to help us create a better world for us all. Like, if I use that as kind of like our North Star, our guiding light, creating different innovations to engage more people and to create more opportunities for impact both on and through, I think there's some really cool things that we're starting to develop and think about to do that. I think one of the things that I'm also really excited about, and this is probably going to make me sound a bit like a dinosaur, but I really love how some of my team members, they come in with this new understanding of just digitalization in just in any form. So absolutely there's like AI and things like that. Of course, there's all of those kind of new things, but even from a more simple level, some of the digitalization that some of our team members have identified and developed in our team is increasing our capacity by reducing our like workload in terms of processes. That's exciting to me, because the more capacity I can build in our team, the more opportunity we can go and then go and do more and create more impact. And I think even things like that are really cool and are bringing us in line and competitive, which is exciting.
If someone wants to join Enactus, what do they have to do?
Sign up on the website.
Sign up on the website.
As a partner or a student?
Oh.
Both.
Both.
So as a student, just sign up on the website, enactusuki.org/join, and go and find out there. And then we've got, and this is what I mean about some of the innovation we've developed recently. We've now got different programs, whether you've currently got what we call an Enactus Action Team or whether you haven't, because we don't want to create barriers for engagement for those that want to kind of join our plan. I think as a partner, I think there are loads of opportunities and loads of reasons why you'd want to get involved in work with an organization like us. And I think the best thing we can do is connect and, see what we can do to try forward.
How is your baking business going?
Very well, thank you. Well, it's not business. This is the most silly things. No. So I just, at the minute, I just do it for free. But saying that, I've just dropped some brownies off this morning and I've got a solid 10 out of 10 rating from everyone seeing them. So feeling good. Because that was the one thing on my LinkedIn profile that you didn't say.
I left it to the
end.
To the end, because you know,
great baker.
Yeah, great baker.
Not going on Bake Off anytime soon.
No.
Too scared.
Are you?
Yeah, I don't want them. I'm very chaotic in the kitchen. I don't want them to judge me.
Well, your cakes are coming perfect. I saw photos.
Cakes, yes. But as I'm told often by those close to me, I've not yet made bread. So I need to practice my bread if I want to get a Paul Hollywood handshake. So if I want to do that in the future, that is on the cards.
Awesome. Right. Thank you very much, Amy.
You're welcome.
This episode was recorded at Bentley Systems offices in London, with production handled by Rogue Divisions.